I came across 10 things you know because you learned it from your mama. All right? 10 things. So when I was young, my mama taught me religion. Religion. You better pray that'll come out of the carpet. You ever heard that one? My mama taught me logic because I said so. That's why. Right? Okay. Number three, my mama taught me irony. Keep crying and I'm going to give you something to cry about. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. My mama taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. What? Really good reason to wear clean underwear. Okay. Number five, my mama taught me stamina. You sit there until you eat all of that spinach, right? She taught me receiving. You're going to get it when I get home, right? How about this one? My mama taught me medical science. Yes, indeed, medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to stay that way, right? You ever have? Yep. My mama, she taught me justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Here we go. My mama taught me change. You change that expression on your face, or I'll change it for you, right? And then we got a little older, and then one day, after I saw her reading her new Bible, when Daddy had left, this time for good, even crying when she prayed, and my own hurt had become just too much for me anymore, my mama taught me real change. Sweetheart, come kneel next to me. Let's ask Jesus to help you and rescue you and heal your heart. God placed mamas in our life. Anyone here didn't have a mama? Even if you were adopted, you still had a mama. You may have had someone else raise you. But we all have mamas. Mamas do the best they can. I have yet to come across one who didn't. Now, sometimes there are those that you just wonder what planet they're on. But others, whether they are true believers or not, we need to realize that they give themselves to their kids. I know Meredith and I, when we had recording, we were engaged. She wanted to have 8 kids. Now, I grew up where there were 6 kids, all right? 5 boys and 1 lone girl. And she wanted 8. And so I said, okay, I am all for that. Should God give us 8? Well, for a number of reasons, God didn't. But Meredith always loved playing with our children. Always. When I would come home, often when our kids were young, generally not when they were teenagers, blocks would be in the middle of the room and she would be playing blocks with the children. Or she would be playing dress up with them. Many times I got hauled in to play dad. And my wife, when it came to dressing them up, she would love to make clothes that matched or buy clothes that matched. She would just love to do that. She would even put their hair in a way that matched. Her Barbie collection really came in handy. Now, I'm not talking about my kids' Barbie collection. I'm talking about her Barbie collection from when she was a little girl. And our girls loved them. Jimmy even loved them. But I won't tell you what he did to them, but he still loved doing what he did to them, regardless. We were kind of tempted to nickname him Sid, but no, didn't do that. Yeah, you remember Toy Story, yep. That kind of stuff. So many times my daughters would bring Barbie dolls to me in 2 hands. You understand? Daddy, can you please help me? Jimmy. That's all she said. Jimmy. Okay. And then I would have to find some way to kind of screw the legs or the arms back in place. Wow. Meredith loved homeschooling our kids. Somehow, Fridays in spring and summer turned into necessary field trips to the beach. Now, yes, she had accomplices in this. Yes, she did. Now, three of my children are married, and I need to admit, with every wedding, Meredith cried. I didn't, but Meredith cried. The day after the wedding, when I went into my child's bedroom and saw how empty it was, and the remaining pictures, that's when I cried. See, we loved our children. We made plenty of mistakes. I'll admit I probably made more than my wife, but we made plenty of mistakes. But our heart was really poured into our kids. For each of you, when you think of your children, many of you, a chapter has closed and a new chapter has begun. Now, because your children are spread out, it seems like that chapter just starts over all the time. Be what it may, you're in a new season. And your children are in a new season. But we have loved raising our children. Regardless of the season in our lives, we have all, in varying degrees, invested in our children. And that's what I want to talk to you moms about tonight. I want to talk about your investment in your children just a bit. So turn with me to Proverbs 31. That's right, the Proverbs 31 woman. The wife of noble character. I counted, there are 9 I can't count that quickly. Verses about how she raised her children. And I'm going to read those. I'm cherry picking them. I'll let you know what verse they are, and then I'll read them. Okay? Here we go. Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. See, that makes clothes. Verse 15, she gets up while it is still dark. Let me just read that one line one more time. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Verse 17 and 18, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And may I add, she more than likely had her children helping her doing that. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Or I might add there at the end, in the office. In the elders of the church. That's what happened. Elders met there. Business was done at the city gates. I want to open in prayer, and I want to jump into this. So, Father, we just want to thank you right now for a time, a day that we can set aside to honor our moms. And, Father, I just pray, give me the right words to be able to do that this evening in honoring the moms here. And I just pray, Father, to every single heart of each mom, would you encourage them? Would you just build them up right now? Speak words of hope. into their hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, I've kind of broken these verses down into a couple of categories. The first one is the fact that this noble woman, who, by the way, it says that she surpasses all other women, that she cooked and clothed her children. And may I also add, she bathed them. She cleaned up their vomit when they were sick. She changed their poopy diapers. She did so much in serving and helping and investing in her children, even to the point where she had to rise when it was dark. She had to rise when it was dark. Maybe that mark is just a little bit too high for us, but you know, there are times in which I get up, well, it's still dark, but many times it's maybe just after. But this wife, there was just a lot on her plate. She got up before dark. She was diligent. You know, my mom, she did have to get up regularly because us kids, especially when the older ones were in high school and us younger ones were in elementary school, she had to get up very early in the morning before it was dark. My dad was a 12th grade English teacher, and he had to be at school by, 7 o'clock or earlier in the morning. And so he had to leave by a certain time. My mom got up, and she always cooked breakfast. She always cooked a breakfast. She always cooked breakfast and dinner. When it came to lunch, she even made, at least for us young kids, she always made us lunch, and we had to eat it, even if it was peanut butter and raisins, even if it was bananas and mayonnaise. Now, some of you have heard of peanut butter and bananas, but this was, yes, you heard me. So, okay, can I be honest with you, though? When it came time for me to make my own lunch, I actually made bananas and mayonnaise sandwiches. I did! How many of you have ever tried banana and mayonnaise sandwiches? Can you raise your hand? Okay, how many of you that's raising your hand, how many of you liked banana and mayonnaise sandwiches? Okay, so three people in this whole church raised their hands, me included, and we all said we liked them. And so you people who are saying, ugh, it's because you've never tried it. Okay, so for Mama's Day tomorrow, okay, I'm not going to go there. Any mamas here who have never tried banana and mayonnaise sandwiches, you may get surprised tomorrow. Okay, kids, don't do that. I was joking. And I tell you what, my mama made so many bologna sandwiches. I think back and I just thought, Mom and Dad, you should have invested in Oscar Mayer. You should have. I don't know why you didn't, but wow, like every day, bologna. I need to tell you, when I got married, I may have eaten one or two bologna sandwiches in the last 40 years. Now, tuna fish. Yeah, we would have tuna fish sandwiches too, like a lot. I did, after a hiatus of a few decades, I started eating them again, and I actually like them now. Okay, just so you know. Peanut butter and jelly was a staple in my home growing up. But my mom would always sacrifice for us kids. She always made breakfast, lunch, and dinner. When it came to clothes, I grew up with hand-me-downs. The only time I got new clothes was on my birthday and Christmas. We always got hand-me-downs, except underwear, just if you were wondering. All right. It also says here that this mom worked hard and many times late into the night to serve. Now, my mom did rise early because she had to, but she was not a late nighter. My wife is not a late nighter either. My mom was not a late nighter. The only time my mom stayed up late at night is when us older kids had a last minute term paper that needed to be typed. Remember those old typewriters? Yep, so that's what she did. Late into the night. And but mom, they sprung it at me in the last minute, 3 months ago. So, but she would be faithful. Okay, what do I got to do? And she would be up till 1 or 2, and I would find my term paper on my study desk right before I headed out for school, stapled together, good to go. And she was a great typist. Meredith, she worked very hard. Oh, my goodness. My mom was a homemaker and took care of us kids, did a great job, in my opinion. Meredith did all of that, including homeschooling our kids. She did so well, and trust me, she was not this easygoing homeschool mom. She got the nickname, plug your ears, sweetheart, of homeschool Nazi. Now, in her defense, she was a really, really nice homeschool Nazi, but a homeschool Nazi nonetheless. Our kids got away with nothing that I'm aware of. And she piled their plates with food, maybe, but I'm talking schoolwork. And, yeah, she showed me the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade plans that she put together and then listed all of the books, oh, my goodness, that they had to read. I read maybe 5 of them. That's it? I did my book reports and I'm not gonna say it. I was not a really faithful young person. Anyways, the truth is, yeah, so God set me free from that. Took my studies seriously, at least by the time I hit college. But Meredith poured so much time into our children. Moms, we do life differently. Some moms, they have to work outside the home. They don't want to. They have to work outside the home. They've got to do that in order to provide for their children. Many single moms I see having to put so many hours trying to make ends meet. And some of you grew up with a mom who the dad was not home. He was not there in the home, and she had to work full-time and take care of you and make sure that you got your schoolwork done. No play over the weekends, right, until you got that schoolwork done, right? Now, in all honesty, kids, how many of you still snuck out of the house? Yep, still snuck out. The truth is, moms, you invested so much into your children. And you were commended for that. None of us did it perfectly. Not my wife and I. And I know all of you fairly well. And you didn't either, just saying. But the truth is, you gave so much. And you worked so hard and invested so much. Remember, all hard work brings a profit. You're invested. You have invested, moms, into your children. Some of you are doing that right now, investing. I know my daughter Rose is. By the way, I don't know if I have a chance. It just dawned on me. You know, I don't have little kids anymore. They've just decided to all grow up, like, right? And I told them when they were kids they were not allowed to do that. But that was one way in which none of my kids obeyed me. But so here's little Luke, and so he's in our house. And just, I think it was last night, he knows that Grandpa has an owie. And he came up, and he just very gently touched it. And he said, Jesus. And he just, in this little way, prayed for it. And then he sees, because my dermatologist had to burn something off my arm here, and I had this little Band-Aid that May gave me a whole box of Band-Aids that are Jesus Heals Band-Aids, right? And so I've got this Jesus Heals Band-Aid on, and Luca walked up and he put his finger on the Band-Aid and he said, "Jesus." Not that he recognized Jesus, but I did tell him Jesus heals, and I have Jesus Heals Band-Aids, and so he's Jesus. But anyway, when you invest in your children, you may not always see it right away, but there is profit. All hard work brings a profit. Number three, third category, wisdom and faithful instruction are on her tongue. Even if she is not a believer in Jesus, your mom had wisdom and faithful instruction. Michael, put your jacket on because I'm cold, right? Okay, faithful instruction, whether you liked it or not. And all moms do this, even if they're not believers. They were kind to the less fortunate. And they were generous, and they taught you to be that way too. They taught you, don't hold grudges. It's not worth it. Don't seek revenge. Don't hit your sibling back, right? Don't steal, even if you're a government official. Now, they may not have told you that last part. I guess maybe some of our government officials didn't have a mama like that. Regardless, respect adults. Oh, that was big, right? Got your mouth washed out with soap. How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Any of you? Wow, look at this. Any of you ever go blind as a result? Okay, never mind. Watch your mouth, right? If they're not a believer, they would add, but don't watch my mouth. Now, those of you who had Christian moms, they taught you about Jesus. Most moms realize, hey, I am not going to leave it up to the church to teach my kids. I'm going to do that myself. The church is supplemental. Whatever happens in children's ministry or in teen group, great, but it's my responsibility. Kudos to you Christian moms who did that or who are doing that. They led you to Jesus, or at least they put enough deposit of the gospel in your life so that you came to Christ. They taught you about him. Oh, yeah. My mom was a Christian mom. She watched the PTL Club and the 700 Club every single Monday through Friday. This is before all that happened with Jim Baker. And I can remember so many times her crying in front of that TV set. She loved Pat Robertson. And she would watch, she would listen to his teachings. And I can remember so many times in my middle school, even high school years, just sitting down just a little bit while she would be watching. She taught you about Jesus. And there were times in which I played sick. I'm just saying, I was not your perfect kid by any means. And I defined the term rascal, if you were wondering. And my mom would stay home with me Sunday mornings, and she would read the Bible to me. Well, Mike, if you're sick enough to stay home, I'm going to stay home with you, and you're going to sit next to me. And okay, if I get sick, I get sick, but I'm going to read the Bible to you. And I learned so many Bible stories that way. Too many. But anyway, eventually I got it. I didn't wake up playing sick. I got it. And then you Christian moms, you didn't just teach them about Jesus. You really tried hard to model it. Meredith even created scripture scrapbooks. And way back, remember photo albums? Do you remember those? Anybody remember photo albums? We have shelves of them. I imagine it would fill up a bookshelf. We have so many. Some of those, of course, they're mostly with actual photos because my wife love taking pictures. And we have a photo album for every single one of our children. We have five. For every year they were in school. And at the end of every year, during the summer, she would create these albums. She would take all of these hundreds and hundreds of pictures. And she would, okay, this is going to be Kate. This is Juliana, Rose, Shine, Jimmy. Okay, divide them up. And she would put, and then she would put little comments with them and put them in there. And that would be their yearbook. Now, eventually, when they got into high school, we actually ordered a school yearbook. But we have yearbooks for them for each year. She would do scripture books, and those scripture books, the kids would help her, at least when they were older, and they would help cutting out some of the pictures in magazines. And so we just saved gobs and gobs of old magazines just for the pictures. And the kids would cut up them, put them in there, and there would be, Meredith would write a scripture verse, okay? But you guys invested in your children. You taught them about Jesus. You tried to model Jesus for them. And that was hard. You prayed for your children. Like every day. And I know when I prayed over my children, I said, Lord, may my child come to know Jesus and be filled with your spirit at an early age, and may they never know what it is to stray from you. And I have a daughter who's straying right now. Lord, remember that prayer. Remember that prayer. And I'm going to encourage you, moms, you have a straying child. You have a child who hasn't come to Christ yet, and you've prayed for their salvation. Lord, remember that prayer. Remind him. He doesn't mind being reminded. I typically don't like being reminded, just to be honest. I don't know if it's my pride or whatever it is. God does not mind you reminding him. So do that. Remind him. Fourth category. Last one. This woman reached outside the family to help others. I know that my mom, she had a prison ministry. My mom was the shyest woman you will ever in your life meet. Painfully shy. When I would be with her in public, I would just be on pins and needles. It was so hard for her to interact with. She would do it though, and she would smile, and the few words she said, they would be so filled with love. And she led a women's prison ministry. She took my wife one time, shaking in her boots, as she sat next to a woman who confessed to murder. And my mom ministered Jesus to them. My mom did some outreach. To be honest with you, I can't remember a whole lot. But Meredith, I remember she would do Meals on Wheels. And she would, the kids, when they were, those who, the kids at the time, they came with you, right? Yep. The kids would go with her. She was involved in a nursing home ministry. The kids had to come with her because they had to participate in the plays, whether they liked it or not. But they were part of that ministry. They did skits. My children still remember some of those skits. And of course, she cooked so many meals for people in the church. Sick, just given birth. Of course, she didn't cook all the meals for them, but she would be on that list. Many times bringing our children with her, and then eventually delegating that to our children if they were old enough, right? But moms, you had a heart. Even unsaved moms, many of them, have a heart to reach the less fortunate. You know why they do? Because they were made in the image of God, just like you. That image was broken, just like you. It's just that Jesus has already begun putting that image back together for you. That imprint of God's love is on the heart of every human being. Some scorch it as they go through life. They do. Others who still don't find Jesus, they're still able to love. Many of you had moms like that. They needed Jesus, desperately needed Jesus, never found him, or at least to this date they have not. They still need Jesus. But what people call the natural law, that's the moral law of God imprinted on every human heart that's in them. And for you moms, you found Jesus, and you learned to tap into Jesus' love. Granted, we did it imperfectly, all of us. But you have given and sowed into and invested into your children. Hebrews 6, chapter 10, it says this: God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Galatians 6, 9 says, do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. This is his promise. All hard work brings a profit. God will bless you. God will not forget all of your hard work. He will not forget all that you did, how you prayed for your children, how you spoke truth into them, even when they rolled their eyes at you. Even when you had to discipline them and they said they hated you. When I was a kid, I started a mother haters club. I really did. I even told my mom about it. And she had the gall to laugh at me. Is what it is. But I loved my mom. Little phase I was going through, I guess. It's called those when you're angry, you're a mom periods. But you've invested. You know, it says right here, God is just. Do you wonder why that's in there? God is, well, it says he's not unjust, which of course means he is just. He's righteous. Why do you think that it says God is not unjust? Because that means whatever you give, it will be given unto you. And if you sow harm, hey, God is just, and that harm will come back. But if you sow good, if you sow love, it will come back to you. And it's in context here, and I'm not going to go into the context. You can do that later. But he gives an analogy in verse 7. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and then produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives a blessing. He is not unjust, and he will take all that good, moms, that you have sown into your children, and he will bless you. That's what he's saying here. God's not forgotten it. Even in those moments in which you feel so overwhelmed, filled with regret because of something you said or did, even to your children, God has not forgotten all the good that you did. And he will bless you. Just like that land that receives rain produces a crop and it blesses others. You will be blessed. That's his promise. Why? Because God's not unjust. Moms, don't become weary in doing good. In the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Because God is just. God will reward your hard work. Yes, he's going to do it in heaven. That's for sure. He will reward you in heaven, but I believe he's going to reward you here on earth. He may reward you by giving you children as they grow up serving the Lord. I pray that happens for all of you. Or children that help us when they become adults. they haven't forgotten us. Or just in general, blessing from giving. It says right here in Proverbs 31, your children will rise up and call you blessed and praise you. No, they won't call you blessed by saying, because you had me. No, that's not what the author is saying here. This word bless is translated in Job 29, commend. They will commend you. That's why it's parallel with praise. They will commend you. For you being a blessing to them, then they will turn around and they will bless you. They will bless you. I want to look at that verse 28 and 30 there. Your children will rise, call you blessed, your husband, and he'll praise you. It says in verse 31, give her the reward also that she has earned, and let her works bring her praise in the office or at the city gate. How can you children turn around and give that blessing? You know, one of the things that I love doing that we have done just kind of here and there, mostly at birthdays, but we still do it on Mother and Father's Day. We try not to do it like all the time so that if we happen to miss it, it doesn't make our child or mother or father on Mother's and Father's Day feel like, well, you just didn't make the grade this year. You didn't cut it this year. No. But we try to continually do it. And on Mother's Day and Father's Day, maybe going around the table. And if you have a large family, all the better. But just say, Mom, here's what I appreciate about you. And if your mom is not there, and if you're not going to be eating a meal with your mom tomorrow, and she's still alive, praise God for that. Give her a call. Or give her a visit if you can. So if she lives in Wisconsin, a call is probably going to be a little better, but give her a call and say, Mom, thank you for. And I would encourage you, before you call her, write some things down. Just write some things down, things that you remember that she did for you growing up, okay? Even maybe she came to Christ later in life. I'm going to guarantee you she still invested wisely in you. Maybe she made more mistakes than after she came to Christ. Regardless, write some of these things down. What did she do? How did she invest in you? Remember when we went to the zoo together and that ostrich reached in and grabbed my shirt and ripped it? Whatever it is, just tell her, remember all that? Remember, just tell her some stories, and then just say, Mom, thank you for, and just start listing some of those things. Make a list. Make a list of some of those things that you appreciate about her. Praise her. Thank her. Commend her. Another thing that you can do. Moms are filled with wisdom. Believe it or not. They're filled with wisdom, and you know it because of the gray hair on their head that you gave to them. They learned something from those years. So she has wisdom, okay? And I'm going to encourage you to tap into that wisdom. When you are encountering a problem and your mom has some insight into those areas, so it may not be in all of your problems, but in certain ones where she has just excelled in wisdom, ask her. Just ask her, Mom, what would you do in this situation? Okay? Lean on them. Now, you're not obligated to follow their counsel, and I hope they give it without strings attached. I give counsel to my kids a lot. I don't expect them to follow it. If they do, great. If it helps them, it works, great. So ask them. Tap into those. And make another list for areas that they excel in and tap into those areas. And then number three, make a third list. And this is a list of things that you can do to serve your mom. Think about this. Ways So you have to figure out what their needs are. And then you have to figure out your schedule, if you can even meet that need, and find a way to meet that need. Those are just some suggestions. Now, all of you kids, and I'm a kid too in this scenario, all of you kids, I'm going to encourage you, live in such a way as to then, by your life, say to your mom, I was a wise investment. So I want to ask you, have you been? See what an investment is? An investment means that there is a greater return for what was initially given. Do you follow? There's a greater return than what was initially sowed. Are you that wise investment? Because if you're not, I'm going to encourage you, become that wise investment. So that the way you live your life, at the end of that life, and maybe you have to do it in heaven, but you can say to your mom, Mom, I was a wise investment. Thank you for all that you poured into me. And maybe we'll have some opportunities up there in heaven if her mom was saved to be able to talk about some of those things. I know my mom, if she can't see all that's going on in my life since she has passed away, or that she may not have seen because we lived 1,000 miles away for most of my life, she'll be able to see, at least I hope, that I was a wise investment of hers. And then lastly, I'm just going to leave you with this before I pray. Jesus invested in you. Your mom was like Jesus in investing in you. And are you turning out to be a wise investment for him? I look around and I believe I can say in all truthfulness that you all are. I think I'm accurate in that. Let's just make sure, because some investments yield X amount and some investments yield 10 times that. Man, I want to have a high yield in my life. Jesus has invested in me. I want to be a high yield investment. I think you do too. So I'm going to close in prayer right now with that in mind. All right, so Father, I just want to thank you for the moms here who have poured into their children. I want to thank you for my mom who has done this for me. And I want to thank you that you blessed me with a noble wife who's worth far beyond rubies, who was that Proverbs 31 mom. And I ask you, Lord God, that all that she has poured into her children, and all that our moms here have poured into their children, will have a high yield rate, would become such an amazing investment, that the love that they poured into them would be 10 times more as they pour it out to others. I know I want to live my life that way. Jesus, I want to say thank you for investing in me, calling me to be your own, pouring your spirit into my life. May I do you proud. May you say to me at the end of the age, well done, good and faithful servant. God, that's our prayer. That's our prayer. Thank you for the moms and how they've given. And help us, God, as we now yield. High yield of that investment. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.